I thank you for the love I feel right now in this room. I thank you that you are making us a body fitly joined together. And Lord, I thank you for the agreement. I thank you for the agreement that we've all determined that we will say yes. We'll set aside our own stuff, our own idiosyncrasies. We'll set aside our own issues and say yes to you.
Yes, Lord.
And you said where we would have come into agreement. You said nothing would be impossible for us. And so, God, we come into agreement now in the name of Jesus.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
No more us, but all about you. So move in us, move through us, speak to us, speak through us. God, our ears are open and our eyes are attentive. Our hearts are softened towards you. And so, God, we pray right now, even now as we go into your word and we share, God, that it would go forth on good soil, good ground, and we be seed, oh God. And Father, that it will not just lie there, but Father, it will take root.
Yes.
And Father, it will cause transformation to take place. And God, we'll praise you and we'll thank you for it.
Hallelujah.
In advance.
Hallelujah.
We won't wait for the manifestation.
Hallelujah.
We praise you now.
Hallelujah.
We won't wait till it comes up, God. We'll praise you now. We'll praise you in expectation.
Hallelujah.
We'll praise you in expectation.
Glory.
We'll praise you in expectation.
Glory.
We'll bless you in expectation.
Glory.
We'll praise and lift you up in expectation.
Hallelujah.
For what is about to take place.
Hallelujah.
Lord, thank you. Give us spiritual eyes. We can praise you in advance. Somebody say hallelujah.
Yeah.
Come on, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, say
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. We bless you, God. As you take your seats, if you can, just touch somebody and tell them fitly joined together. Give me Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 13 in the NIV. This is a rather familiar passage. Ephesians carries for us the theme for this year. And I wanted to embrace it. There's a way that I want us to view Ephesians. There's a way I want us to look at it. And I want us to see some things that you may have. I'm not going to assume that you have not seen it, but I want to see if I can bring some of us so that we could all be together on the same page. So let's read this together. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, let me say that, go back to that again. Read that last phrase. After you have done everything to stand, turn to somebody and tell them, after you have done everything to stand, stand. Now give me 4:13, 4:16. Now let's read this together. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As we look at this particular scripture, specifically Ephesians 6, 13, as we look at that, many times our perspective is from a Western perspective. And when I say Western perspective, we see it from an individual perspective. When we think about standing, we only think about standing by ourselves. Many songs have come from that particular scripture, and the way that we look at it is we look at it about me, mine, and mine. It's about me. It's about me putting on armor. It's about me standing. It's about me. So it's all about me. And so here's what we do. We put on the sad song, put on the blues. So, okay, I understand. I'm just going to stand. Oh, Jesus, help me stand. It's me, God. They're all against me. Help me to stand. Some of y'all looking real strange. I want you to recognize that Ephesians is a letter to a church, not an individual. It's a church. It's a body of believers. It's not written to one person. Oh, I can't get no help in here. And here's what we do. We try to reduce it down to one person. Ooh, I just love that verse. It tells me to stand, therefore. I'll put on my arm. I'm studying. I'm. All about I. And I can go here too. We expand our I to be us when it's my family. Until they make us mad. And then it's an I again. you know how I know this? Because the divorce rate in the church is just as bad as it is on the outside. And you know why that is? It's because we got an I mentality. We ain't, listen, to identify that we're in this thing together is a foreign term to many marriages. Because many individuals feel like their spouse is the enemy. They are something for me to overcome. Oh, I ain't got no help in here. I said, there's something for me to conquer. What does that mean? So that I can have my, uh-oh. I got some single folks saying, well, were you talking to them? No, I'm talking to you too. That's one of the reasons you're still single. Y'all not understanding me, huh? Because you see them as something to conquer. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a quest. What? To get a need that I have met. It was funny because this morning I got a text from somebody, and I began to realize that this individual texts me, but they never I text and say, how you doing? And they text me back, and I text them again and say, how's it going? How are you? Had things going on? And then I started realizing they don't ever ask how I'm doing. I mean, never. And I realize they're in a bad situation, in a difficult situation. But the problem is, you feel like you're the only one who got a situation. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you're the only one that got a circumstance. Nobody
knows, Lord, but the trouble I'm seeing, it's just me.
Anybody know folks like that? I know it ain't you, but you know some folks around. Listen, you may not want to put your hand up because the person may be here, so just. in this book of Ephesians, he starts out, because when you look at it, he starts out talking about, he says, listen, in verse 3 of chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Somebody say, blessed us. He said, he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You ain't blessed by yourself. Let me say that again. Let me rephrase it. I ain't blessed by myself. If you're in the body of Christ and you are a believer, we are blessed, not I am blessed. And here's what he says. You're blessed with spiritual blessing. You have spiritual stuff in you. Stop looking at me cross-eyed because I lift my hands and glorify. What I have in me, you have in you. I can't get no help. I said, what I have in me, you have in you. I, Pastor, that's just not me. It ain't me either. It's a blessing. I wish it was about me, because if it was about me, I'd be at home. But it ain't about me. Tell somebody it ain't about me. I've been invested with spiritual blessings. I got spiritual stuff going on in me. Folks running around talking about, you're more spiritual than I am. No, I'm not. The Jesus in me ought to be in you too. And if he's in you too, you're just as spiritual as I am. Now, here's what I tell you. Here's what I told him. I told him on Wednesday. We talked about it. We said we are spiritual beings. And I can get real with it. We are spiritual beings. We are spirits in dirt. Let me say that again. We are spirit in dirt. Somebody said, what are you talking about? You know when they go to a funeral and they throw that stuff, the ashes and dust to dust. From the dust did we come, and to the dust we going back. This ain't nothing but dressed up dirt. Dirt wearing dirt, eating dirt. Come on, somebody. Dirt. I'm a spirit. Listen, when this life is over, when this stuff lays down, I still yet live. And listen, I don't know about you, but how many of you gonna allow dirt to tell you what to do? Because that's really what you confine by dirt. I'm not gonna let dirt confine me. Dirt don't have no control. I am moved by the Spirit. Come on, somebody. And sometimes dirt hurts. Sometimes dirt got pain. Come on, somebody. Somebody stepped on my foot. Listen, that's dirt hurting. Come on, somebody. Dirt. God, listen, dirt can be painful, but I'm not going to allow it to prevent me. Come on, the real me. Y'all not hearing me here. The real me, listen, dirt has some needs and some desires. And the enemy says, here's a way to fulfill those needs. And they're not the way God designed for them to be filled. Uh-oh. Come on, that's why when we look at our fasting time, our 21 days of fasting, it came to me as I was reading this, and it just jumped out of the page. I had never thought about it because I'd heard folks talk about, I don't think fasting is necessary, blah, blah, blah. And then it just, I was almost like I had missed it, But I recognize Jesus fasted. And he fasted not for 21, not 7, not no Daniel fast, not no fast without sugar. He fasted with nothing. For how long? Woo! Somebody say, anybody know that's a humbling? Uh-oh. And here we come talking about, let's give up sugar. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. But God, draw me nearer. Listen, I want to be closer to you, Lord, but I don't know about giving up chicken. Days without nothing. And do you see the power of his ministry? But here's what I want you to know. The scripture says he was acquainted with our infirmities. He understands that because for 40 days he had nothing. And basically, when we read the scripture, he had no contact with human flesh. Nobody was out there with him. Come on, somebody. Listen, we ask you to go pray in the prayer center by yourself 1 hour and you start scratching your head. Why? First thing is, I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody. Your flesh start acting crazy. Ooh, I'm hungry. Ooh, I'm starving to death. Ain't none one of y'all in here ever starved to death. I said none has starved to death. You had something to eat, even if it wasn't what you wanted. Come on, somebody. When you thought you were stumbling, listen, and don't let your stomach start rumbling. I'm reminded of the prodigal son who was out there, and he was out there, and he had spent up everything he had. And his stomach was giving him the flux. Come on, somebody. Listen, he was really on a fast. He didn't know it. Y'all not hearing me here. Because he didn't have nothing to eat. And he started looking at what the pigs was eating. Y'all not hearing me here. He started looking at pig slop. With all, listen, had pig defecation in it. Y'all not hearing me. All of that stuff mixed up in there together, and it started looking like something he may want to eat. Y'all not hearing me here. Somebody said, I ain't never been that hungry. That's my point. But you have spiritual fortitude. You have spiritual fortitude. You've been empowered not by your flesh, but by the Spirit of God. Tell somebody, I'm empowered. I'm empowered. I'm empowered. Now, here's what he says in verse 9. He says, he made known to us the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. And here's what he says. The reason for that in verse 10 is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Why did he do this? Tell somebody, bring unity. Now point up at the screen. You do say, tell them, you see it right up there? It says, bring unity. bring unity, bring, he said, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head. To bring unity. He says, the reason you know Jesus and you know the mystery of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, the reason all you that we know this is not so you could be happy by yourself and say, just sit there and wait for Jesus to come back and get you. Come on, somebody. The reason you know that is because we're to be unified. He said, I revealed it to those who are supposed to be connected. Somebody say unity. Said, that's why I know what I know. So what do I do with the mysteries, what he reveals to me? If he's speaking to me, he should also be speaking to you. Y'all following me here? If he's speaking to me, he should also be speaking to you. And here's the key. When we all get together and share what he says, how many books are in the Bible? 66. How many in the New Testament? Uh-oh. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. We got some work to do. School of Ministry, we got some work to do. Y'all struggling with that. 27. How many of y'all struggled with that? Oh, no. Don't be shy now. Now, listen, some of y'all still sitting there. Listen, you didn't know. You need to be saying, I didn't know. But here's what I want you to know. This is a good example of that. One of the reasons you don't know is because you ain't put yourself in a place where you can learn. Because somebody in here did know. Uh-oh. But if you think you know it all, let me tell you, ain't none of us in here know it all. Let me say that again. Was that bad English? Oh, goodness. Ain't none of us in here know it all. Stop acting like you know it. I don't care how long you've been walking on the earth. You don't know it all. I have a friend of mine, and he's so funny because he's a real good friend. He's my brother. But he always tells me, when I ask him about his health and he's going through, well, I know my body. And he's quick to tell me, listen, well, I know my body. I understand my body and how it works. And I'm sitting there listening to him. I said, if you knew your body, then you wouldn't be doing some of the stuff you're doing. Come on, somebody. If you really understood everything about your body, then listen, we wouldn't need no doctors. And listen, and here's the other thing. You wouldn't need the surgeon who had to put the pacemaker in your heart. Y'all not hearing me here. So you wouldn't need the blood pressure medication. You wouldn't need all that if you just knew your body. I'm trying to get somebody here. You don't know what you think you know. I ain't got no help in here. I said, you think you know a whole lot, but you don't know this, and you don't know everything. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get some bold folks in here. Turn to somebody and tell them, you don't know everything. Uh-huh. Some folks scared to tell the folks next to them they don't know everything. Listen, and you part of the problem because they think they know other things because you didn't say it. How many of you know there's some folks that need to be confronted and let them know, listen, you don't know everything. And I'm okay to say it. I'm bold enough to say it because I recognize I don't know everything. Hallelujah. I recognize I can learn something from you, and I know you can learn something from me. I don't know everything. And that's why we got to be fitly joined together, because I don't know everything.
not going to get to finish this. Let me see how I'm going to get out of this. Paul spends that first chapter not talking about standing strong. He doesn't talk about how good we are individually. He talks about how strong we are as the body of Christ. He spends most of that first chapter telling us how much alike we are, not how much different we are. Oh. He says, because we're all in the same body. He says, you've got spiritual blessings in you. He said, you got them from Christ. He said, we've got revelations, understandings. You can understand some things that I don't. I wish I'd get one or two folks and say, there's some stuff you understand that I don't understand. There's some things I understand that you don't understand. But we start sharing them together. He says in verse 11, I think this will get me out. He says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything. Somebody say everything. In conformity with the purpose of his will. What is he saying? You trying to work something out by yourself. He said, it's not for you to work out by yourself. He goes on, he said, I've predestined work for you to do. He said, listen, in fact, the person who you're sitting next to right now, I predestined that. Uh-oh. Somebody's having a hard time recognizing. He says, the person you're sitting next to right now is not there by accident, nor are they there by happenstance. I placed you there, and I have purpose for why you're sitting there right now. I can't get no help in here. And listen, some of us are asleep right now, and one of the reasons you're sitting next to them is to nudge them and tell them to wake up. Somebody said, because I'm alert, they're not. Wake up. Listen, because I need you to know that you have something that is necessary for me. I don't need you sleeping on the job. Y'all not hearing me here. I need you to be alert. I need you to hear what he's saying. Listen, because God has invested something in you, and it belongs to me. And so it belongs to us. And so you need to wake up so that, and when it's time for you to give out what God has placed in you, you'll be able to do it. Whew. I'm gonna get there in a minute. Come on. Listen, because here's what's happening. Listen, I can stand if we stand together. But listen, if somebody's, listen, I'm going to be hard for me to stand and him to stand if I'm falling down. Y'all not hearing me here. Listen, because I need you to stand next to me. We're stronger together. Y'all not hearing me. Listen, we're connected. Come here. Listen, when we're connected, listen, you're right, we can stand. We have put on our armor. Y'all not hearing me. Listen, there's not going to be anything that can come against us because we're fitly joined together. So when we move together, come on, somebody. Listen, the enemy can't stop us. He said, listen, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us when we're united. And so we're going to be better together.
reason you're falling down is because you're by yourself. Come back for a minute. Come back for a minute. Listen, the reason you're falling down is because you're off by yourself. But if you got folks with you, even when I try to fall, even when I try to stop, listen, they are able to stand. Come on, somebody. So listen, we recognize I need you. You need me. My strength lies in the fact that we're together. You did hear this, right? A threefold cord is not easily broken. Somebody say, bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. Come on, I need you to help me now. Bind us together, Lord. Come here, sweetheart. We're stronger together. But let me tell you, the reason that we're really strong, come here, Mom. Come on, Dad. Come here. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Come on, baby. You know, one of the reasons we have a strong marriage is because we ain't by ourselves. They pray for us. We pray for them. Y'all not hearing me here. We're bound together. But if it was just her and I, one of us fall, it ain't gonna work too well. But they're there saying, go back, baby, go on back, go back, go back. Don't leave it, go on. I know it's hard, you can make it through. Why? And why can they say that? Because they had folks connected to them. Y'all not hearing me here. And listen, and then they had folks connected to them. Y'all not hearing me here. So listen, stop this isolation. It's just gonna be me and my wife. That's foolishness. Foolishness. Listen, I'm going to get folks out of my business. You need folks in your business. You need some support because sometimes what you think is going to be crazy. So somebody, we're going to strengthen ourselves together. Come here, Jonathan. Come here. Come stand right here between. Jovette's not here. But listen, we in their marriage. Come on. This is his mother-in-law. She's in their marriage. That's how it's gonna grow stronger together. Not by going off in some corner by yourself. I wish I'd get some folks in here. Because you'll do some crazy stuff. Anybody know you'll do some crazy? You'll do some crazy stuff. Single folks know, listen, that's the problem is you all by yourself. And listen, what you think sounds good to you, it ain't good. Come on, somebody, it sound good to you. Listen, you think, I just want to be in here all by myself. And then you turn that crazy one-eyed monster, as my father would say, on, and then they start giving you all kind of crazy imaginations. Like, I want a romantic relationship. Hey, what's up? Why don't you come over? Somebody say crazy. Listen, you already know what that's going to lead to. I'm going to say it, a booty call. We got a whole lot of booty call babies. Because it sounded like a good thing to do. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. I need you. Brother Wesley, I need you. You need me. Listen now. Thank you, Lord. It is a challenge to be in relationship or to have fellowship with a miserable Christian. Really is. Anybody know some miserable Christians? They're always whining and complaining. And how you doing? Oh, I'm struggling through and I'm trying to make it. How many know that's just depressing? That's just depressing. And one of the reasons it's so depressing is like, I understand. I get down days. I get down times too. But I need some folks who can speak into me and lift me up when I do get down, because they can remind me, first of all, by their very presence and their listening ear, that I am not alone. Anybody know for sure you're not alone? I said you know for sure you're not alone. That you've got folks who will walk with you and share with you and speak with you and counsel with you and pray with you and encourage you, rebuke you. Anybody know you're not alone? I'm not alone. Listen, and if you're feeling alone, listen, you're pretty miserable. And I don't want you, listen, we don't want you to be alone. Because listen, I know you can't do this thing alone. So the first thing I need you to do, the first thing, if you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never made a public confession, altar workers, if you would come quickly. You've never made a public confession of Jesus Christ. You've never said, yes, Jesus, come into my life. Listen, have your way with me. Have your great reside in me. If you're here today and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come.